Blog Talk Radio.
At this pivotal time in humanity's evolution, we are beginning to remember our organic technology. A technology, when used correctly, can create an experience that the majority of people the world over want to live. It is time to use this technology consciously for our own benefit and healing, and no longer unconsciously for our own demise. We are divine creatures, creating both our own personal and our collective experience, moment to moment. We invite you to join us in the reawakening of this technology through experiment and experience the power to create and manifest. Become part of the 3%, the collective imagination.
Welcome, everybody, to the first Collective Imagination program for 2013.
Yay!
Woohoo! If you are listening from Australia, particularly the southeastern states, I hope you're safe. I hope the fires aren't causing you too much trauma. And if you're listening from some parts of North America, I hope you're not too knee-deep in snow, or neck-deep in snow. So, welcome. Welcome back. We ended last year on a high note. It was really, really an extraordinary experience doing that countdown series for everybody involved. The feedback from you guys has been amazing. It does seem to have been a great help. And just enjoyable, you know, to have a place to come every day to tune in, hear experiences, listen to light minds, and connect with your family, you know, your energetic family. So that I certainly appreciated that. It was wonderful. And you all contributed in beautiful, wild, and wonderful ways to that experience. So, again, I want to thank everyone involved. So, let's kick this off. Barbara, woo-hooing in the background. Welcome to 2013.
Well, thank you. Welcome to the new paradigm yourself.
Absolutely. And Bob, how are you doing over there in Pennsylvania?
I'm fantabulous. Welcome, everyone. It's been, we'll get into that, but, oh, wow, great stuff.
Cool. And how are you doing down there in Melbourne, Chris?
I'm cold, nice and cool today, like you are, Lisa. We've got some fires to the north and some fires to the south, but we're being spared most of that stuff, and my mind is blown. It's flying out my ears. There's so much stuff happened since that last show. It's going to take this entire show to basically fill people in. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, it's going to be a big one. Okay, let's kick it off. And we do want to hear from you guys. The call-in number is 646-716-4598. Or if you're listening, at Blog Talk, there is a little Skype button next to the phone number. And you should be able to just, if you've got Skype, click on that and call us from wherever you are. And we want to hear from you. What's been going on with you since the 21st of December 2012? anything and everything you want to share is open. So give us a call. One of the things that Bob and I are both experiencing is a change in diet, somewhat drastically. And it's not just actually myself, it's my whole family. We're not eating. We're having the equivalent, all of us, of maybe one meal, but it's spread out, you know, in nibbling throughout the day. There's been a bit of purging going on. There's been, on a number of levels, emotionally as well. I'm being able to sit back and see that with my kids in particular. There's been a fever that's run through the house. My youngest daughter had it last week. One of the others has got it today. And it feels like a burning off of old crap, is the only way I can put it. But Bob, I know Bob's experiencing it too, so would love to hear.
Drastically, no appetite. I just and this has been going on for some time, but it's become very drastic. I was talking to you every day, so I was having a pancake and a cupcake every day. One pancake and a cupcake.
That was anything that ends in the word cake, Bob?
You know, my roommate, he's like, you know, what are you making? I said, a pancake. He's like, how do you even measure to mix for one pancake? But I got it down.
Yeah, half an egg? How did you do that?
Well, it's, you just add water. I'm not that sophisticated.
That's right, I forget. We actually cook from scratch here.
But, the food thing has been very, very profound. The synchronicity thing is just been crazy. New Year's, I have a really lifelong friend that I only see every once in a while, and it's around the holidays that he comes into town. So he came in to visit the one night, and we were talking, and he had to go and visit his father. And he said that he was going to come back the next day. He promised that he would come back before he went back home. And the next day came, and I'm sitting and I'm waiting. You know, it got to be like around 5 o'clock. So I decided, you know, wonder what's happened with Josh. So I texted him, you know, hey, what's going on? Well, as soon as I hit the button, I got a text in, you know, and he answered my question at the exact same time that I sent it. And he was like, hey, I'm sorry, I'm really tired, I'm feeling kind of sick, I don't think I'm going to make it there tonight. And we both texted back to each other, again, at the exact same time, the exact same words, what the fuck? And it's, you know, things like this, it's just, out of all of the hours in the day, all of the minutes in the day, we decided to text each other at the exact same time. So, you know, it's these connections with the people who I'm close to, we laugh at it almost every day, because Justin will walk in the door as I have the phone in my hand texting him, asking him if he wishes to come down. And it's just, and we'll just look and laugh, and, you know, it's like, he goes, you're texting me right now, aren't you? I was like, yeah.
Well, I've forgotten how many times you've said to me in the past couple of weeks. I was just going to say that. I was just thinking that.
Oh. Oh, God, Lisa, me and you have been parallel typing.
I know.
You know, you know, it should be an Olympic event, synchronized typing.
That's a new theme for one of my upcoming shows.
That's what I was going to mention, your upcoming shows.
How do you dress for that? What's the dress code for synchronized typing?
Do you have to dress?
Well, wristbands are recommended. You know,
Barbara, how did your show go? For those who don't know, Barbara's launched her own show called Cool Synchronicities?
No, Cool Coincidence.
Cool Coincidences. Oh, that's it. All about these coincidences and synchronicities. And because she is the queen of synchronicities.
It actually went really well, and I've got another guest lined up for this Thursday, and we've already been sharing synchronistic events that we're laughing about, that, you know, we're like to the point now where we're asking ourselves, how are we going to even squeeze all these into, you know, a two-hour broadcast?
Oh, great. And has that picked up for you too, since the 21st?
Oh, and I thought I had them before. Yes, they are quintupled, and I'm also having the food thing, which I didn't mention when we were talking about this before the show, because I didn't want to interrupt the flow, but I've only been eating at the most one meal a day, and a lot of that is because I've been really busy, and because I don't have enough food in the house, because I don't have enough time to go to the grocery and get food, so I'm like, I'll do it tomorrow, and it's ended up being that I've eaten about one meal a day. And when you guys brought that up, I silently laughed to myself. You know, I tell you, sometimes, Lisa, you, just like Bob said, the two of you seem to be, you know, linked. you and I seem to be linked too in the things that we experience.
Yes, I know. And body's doing strange things. It seems to have taken on a mind of its own.
Now that we're on the air, I'm actually curious to find out if you had experienced any of the same things that I have over the last couple of weeks relating to, you know, that ongoing feeling of your body being a step or two in front of you, you know, where that tilt kind of off-center feeling.
It changed. Instead of feeling like I was somehow half a step behind my body, I just felt like I wasn't here at all. So the last show we did on the 21st, I had a party that night, that afternoon, and there was, as the day wore on, I just felt a shift within myself, you know, and I knew I was looking at a couple of weeks of holiday, which was, you know, so I put it down to all of that, finally having some time off. But then as the days wore on, I was just less and less here, is all I can say. And I wasn't anywhere. I don't even know how to explain it. I can't, you know how some people say, oh, I've been living in 5D or, you know, I don't know what it was. But I just was so in the moment that I couldn't think about yesterday. I couldn't think about tomorrow. I couldn't even think about what I was going to do in 2 hours from now. It was just whatever was happening for me right here, right now, seemed to be all I could actually think about. My brain just would not engage to go there. It was quite strange. And physically feeling just quite light and I don't know what, I don't have words for this because it's new. It's completely new for me. And it's only been what's today, Wednesday? It's really only been since the end of last week that I've made a conscious effort to try and get back here and back in my body and focused, because I knew I was going to have to start doing the radio show and looking at, you know, getting the interviews back online, and some amazing things have happened in the world, which we're going to discuss, that have required my attention and have, you know, some sort of brain power. So I've had to make a conscious effort, but I was literally I've just been floating.
Well, I've had an interesting physical and mental experiences as well. They're twofold. The first is that feeling of being off center. It increased to the point where it didn't go away, and it stayed from one day. It stayed from about 8:15 to 8:30. I felt it getting more and more intense. Till 8:30, I literally couldn't move left or right, up or down, get up, move my arm, do anything without that kind of feeling of it trailing. And that lasted until late afternoon, early evening. I even laid down thinking, well, you know, because I didn't feel sick and I know I'm not sick. I'm just thinking, well, maybe I'll lay down for a while. When I wake up, it'll go away. And when I got up, it was still there. And that happened on several different days, with this one day being the most prevalent. And it was like, wow, what the hell is that? That, you know, is my vibration aligning itself? You know, is there something happening in the world that I'm energetically, you know, in tuned with, or it's affecting me? Is there something going on in the area, you know, around my neighborhood or something that somehow is interacting with me? I mean, I don't have a clue, but it was very weird. And then the other thing was, I've noticed it's similar to what you said, but different. Similar in the fact that I feel like I'm observing from the from like a cocoon, and the outside world is going on around me, and I'm in it, but I'm not of it. And the reason I say that is, if I choose to be outside of it, there are things going on around me, but it's as if nobody notices I'm there. One example is, last Sunday I was walking around at the local university, and it was a Sunday, so there weren't a lot of people there. But the runners that were there, there were some girls running, a couple of different sets, and they ran close to me, but they didn't even seem to notice me, which was cool. And then there were security cars driving around. And at one point, they actually parked the whole lot, and this is a huge lot. The whole lot was empty except for my car and this one of three lots. And I'm walking, I'm finishing up my walk, and I'm walking back to my car, and these two security cars are parked so that the two drivers can talk to each other. And they're like one and a half car spaces away from my car. And I'm thinking, okay, are they just, you know, writing down my license plate or are going to ask me some questions? And I said to myself, no, they're not going to bother me. As a matter of fact, they're not even going to notice me. And they're not there for any way having anything to do with me. They're just chatting. And before I even got to my car, they just drove away. And kind of how it's been. And when I'm choosing to let people in, all of a sudden more people are looking at me and interacting with me and talking to me in grocery stores and the oddest places. But when I turn it off, I'm there, but nobody seems to even notice that I'm there. It's like I can choose, and it's cool.
Do you remember who, I can't remember who it was who said it because we spoke to so many people, but we talked about the energy wave going around the planet, and someone said it's more likely to come from the poles. Does
Chris
anyone
Thomas
remember
that?
That? Will Chris Thomas?
It was Chris Thomas.
Okay, one of our viewers who communicates with me via email a lot sent me an email saying, I think the energy is going south to north. A wave went through our house, the cat fell over, and then my knees buckled. And I felt this amazing power surge, like if a tremor was about to start, but without the earth moving. It came right up to my knees. Given it seems to be going south to north, it might have hit you earlier. It hit us around 1 or 2 p.m. your time. And then that was followed up by, and I believe that was on sort of the 21st, 22nd, spiritual waves are still crashing over me and out of me and into me. If I had spiritual bathers, I lost them days ago. So some people are experiencing these energy waves physically.
Yeah.
Because that's the most beautifully put that I've got. But, I mean, other people have commented and sent me Facebook messages and whatever. I'm not going to read them all out, but I picked that one because it was very succinct. So I know people are also feeling these physical energy waves.
Well, if anyone in the chat room or anyone listening to us live outside of the Blog Talk webpage wants to call in and share their stories, we would love to hear them because we'd love to know if this, you know, if this is a phenomenon or, you know, what their experiences are. But that's basically the things that I've been experiencing since the 21st.
Okay. Mm. Well, both hemispheres covered too then.
Indeed, indeed. Now, Lisa, I'd like to tell my little chemtrail story as part of this surreal experience. Since,
yeah, go for it.
Because on the day, I actually had a family barbecue there. We had an end-of-time barbecue. And my relatives were quite curious as to why I called it end of time, because they thought it was the end of the world. So I had to explain to them, which was good. But driving one of my kids home that night, I experienced something which has happened a number of times in the past, which is my body actually reacting is almost as if I have a mild, very mild background electric current flowing through me, and I actually get very strange sensations. And I know it's through my nervous system. And that was happening for about 30, 45 minutes late that evening. So, and I don't usually feel that unless there's something going on. So I think something was definitely going on from an energetic point of view, as we suspected it would. And since then, it's been just surreal. I completely lost track of time. Couldn't tell what day it was. I was just going from event to event, just following the stream, and had a very pleasant time. And I'm really struggling. I'm you know, in my office, supposedly working at this stage, and really struggling to focus on things that I don't feel are now part of my reality, but there they are. So we've all still got a foot in both camps, and it's going to continue like that on and off and in a patchy kind of way for some time. But during the surreal period, I had the most bizarre experience, and I'll describe it without going into too much detail. But I was reversing my car out of the driveway, and it was a very, very clear blue sky day, just before 3 in the afternoon. Stopped the car to hit the button to make the gate close. Looked up, and there in the sky is a chemtrail plane, which looked at it it just been started spraying maybe for a minute or two, and it was about a third of the way across the sky, not quite 90 degrees up in the air, but maybe 35. And I said a few Australian expletive deleted type descriptions because I hate those things, and it seemed a little fuzzy and a little far away. It wasn't quite right, but you know, we get these chemtrail incidents in Melbourne where on a clear blue day we'll get a giant white cross put in the sky by these lovely things from horizon to horizon, east to west, north to south. And this plane didn't quite look right, but I drove off around the corner and parked to take another look at it. There it was. It seemed to actually be a bit sharper and a bit closer, which I didn't really consciously think about at the time, but I did note. And I looked at this thing, and I just wanted it to go away. I just thought, I'm going to tear you out of the sky. And I sat there mentally doing that for about 30 seconds, and I thought, no, I'm just going to unmake it. I'm just going to take it out of reality. And I gave it some velocity, as Michael Munk likes to put it, some real energy, because I was really so annoyed to see it there. And then I just kind of snapped out of that, because I was driving up to the shops to get more food, and I had to ring my brother on the way, which I did. I got to the shops. I'd finished with my brother on the phone. I picked up my phone and got out the car. I was punching up the buttons for my friend Mad Hatter, whom I've shared a couple of chemtrail experiences with over the last few months, where we both look at the sky. We're in different parts of Melbourne. We look up and say, yeah, look at those, you know, what's in the sky. And I looked up, and the plane and the chemtrail were gone, completely gone, nothing there, clear blue sky. And I walked around in circles for about 30 seconds, kind of with my jaw on the ground, then left a crazy message on Lisa's phone, because it was gone, and it remained gone. It was just gone, folks. It was 11 out of 10 on the weirdest shit ometer, and I'm still shaking my head over it. But it was kind of proof to me that something had really changed. And what can I say? It was the middle of the day, and I'm not a person given to seeing things.
Gone in 60 seconds, as someone just wrote. They've experienced
it
too.
Yeah. And look, it took literally, it was about, by the time I sort of drove off to the supermarket, maybe 3 minutes. You know, so there's manifest or demanifestation for you. Now, in thinking about it and talking about it with others, you know, did I remove it from reality? Maybe. Were other people around Melbourne looking at it and feeling as emotional about it as I was? Maybe. Maybe it was just some dimensional bleed through that I happened to observe. I can't give a hard and fast answer, but here 1 minute, gone the next. Pachung, done. Amazing.
Dimensional bleed through. I want you to describe what you really mean by that.
Well, this comes up in Cliff High's stuff, is that the one of the things that appeared in his data and has for a while is that as the thinning of the veil, the shifting of the energy levels, because it's not uniform, not even, as the impression that I'm getting, and that we're kind of drifting in and out of different, you know, the different energy levels, and at some point you'll half observe something that's actually happening in another reality, and then it'll be gone again. And you know, there's been a lot of stuff that's been described as visitations by ghosts and other weird things that have happened over, you know, forever. People have described these things throughout history, which is probably some form of a window, a thinning of the veil between us and some other reality, where suddenly you get some bleed through and you can either see things or you experience things. And,
okay, that
might
explain something.
I recall an incident in China where there was like this whole city that appeared in the river. I don't know if anybody has seen that video, but it was right there. You know, you could see it. It looked real, but it was in the middle of the water, like there was a whole another city there.
No?
No, I haven't heard of that.
Try and scrounge up a link for that one.
I'll find the link. I'll put it in the chat.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a caller, and before we bring him out, I just wanted to say that it could be the explanation for what I'm experiencing, in that, you know, that where you see things out of the corner of your eye in your peripheral vision, you get little images or flashes. That's happened periodically throughout my life, I guess, but not with any consistency. But towards the end of last year, and I think I did mention something on the show about it, that's happening more. Well, it's happening all the time. All the time.
Yep.
I'm sure someone's standing next to me. I'm sure someone's walked past the window. I'm just sure. And I look and I go, I'll go and answer the door because I think someone's walking up to it. Or I'll turn around and go yes to thinking that one of the kids is standing next to me and there's no one there. It's happening all the time.
I'd love to hear.
You just reminded me of that with the whole dimensional bleed-through.
Yeah, Lisa.
I'd love to hear if anyone else is having these experiences.
Me.
Yep, okay.
Oh, really? Sure.
Yeah, the flashes out of your peripheral vision, and I keep that's been happening to me in the last week, and I keep looking. I keep looking. It's like, what is that? What is that? And I look, and I can't catch it fast enough, but then it happens again and again, and I'm like, okay, was there a reflection? You know, trying to, you know, logically explain it, and I can't. And so I know something's going on. I just can't define what it is. I just chalk it up to all the other oddities that have been happening lately. And you did mention that on one of the countdown shows because I remember it distinctly.
Well,
there's an armchair right behind my couch, and usually it's like the best seat in the house. So whoever is visiting usually is sitting there, and I have been, you know, I can always, you know, you could feel when somebody's there. Over and over again, I'll sit there and I'll swear that Jason is sitting in that chair, like I could feel him there. And I'll look and there's nobody there.
Did he come and sit down in it in a few minutes' time? Are you pre- Yeah.
It's crazy. And you know what? You can actually feel when you shift from the one dimension to the other. Because I was spending all of this time in this completely other reality. And I don't know how to explain it. It's just that... you're in this completely different state of mind. You're just at peace and you're just, I can't explain it, but you know what I'm talking about. And somebody snaps you back into the 3D reality where, you know, and I would get angry.
Yeah, but you can't stay there anymore, can you?
Yeah, it's just like, oh, why do I have to deal with this now? Like, And I apologize if I snapped at anybody. It was, I don't know.
It's just so nice being there and you feel like you're not here until somebody brings you back and then you realize that you've just returned.
Exactly.
So people in the chat room are having the same thing. I've felt people behind me many times without anyone being there, but definitely a presence. Diane, I speak to the images because I feel it will strengthen the process or speeds up the process. Cool. Love, Silly. I'm so glad this is being discussed. It's been going on with my grandson and daughter for 3 days. Wow, intensely too. All right, we do have a call. Let's bring him out and hopefully get a cool story. 541 area code. Your mic is live.
Hey, everyone. This is Tony from Oregon.
Hey, Tony from
Oregon.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I just have to throw my hat in the ring with all you guys. I've been experiencing many of the same things that Bob and Chris just discussed throughout the year and beyond. So I'd say for about a year and a half now, I've been experiencing things like that off and on. But I do have a timely story that kind of fits in with Chris's chemtrail story, if you want to hear it.
Yeah, please.
Absolutely.
I actually had posted this right after it happened on the Collective Imagination site. So you might have had a little bit of a backstory of it or heard it a little bit. But essentially, that night, I was playing around with Dr. Greer's ET Contact app on the iPhone. I don't know if you've heard of this.
Yes, and I'm so glad you called in. Thank you.
I love that, yeah.
Right, well, I was just kind of curious about it. It was $8. I don't know if I can really suggest it to anyone, but nonetheless, I was messing around with it, just kind of listening to the different tones and things that it has included on there. And one of the things it did have was a recreation of the Fibonacci sequence in tones. And if anyone's ever heard the Fibonacci sequence in tones, it just sounds like this really psychedelic calliope going off. So I'm listening to that, and as I'm listening to this really kind of surreal, barely music type of thing, I'm getting all these memories, you know, just of being a kid growing up in the 70s and 80s and, you know, all the different weird things. Even they showed us on shows like Electric Company and 321 Contact and Sesame Street, you know, the animated sequences and just stuff like that from when I was a kid. The game Simon Says, have you ever played with that one where you have to, like, hit the light after the sound goes off and try and follow along, and it just gets more and more complex as it goes. So anyway, I'm just kind of digging into that, you know, just enjoying these memories. And I close my eyes and I start to relax. And then right in front of me, I begin to see this image of, like, halfway between what you think of as a really dark, sharp shuriken and the shape of an ice crystal. And the clarity is really, really just high definition, but very dark at the same time, as you can imagine from looking, if anyone's ever, you've all looked inside your eyelids, well, so you know what it looks like when you close your eyes. But imagine that right in front of you, you have just this vibrating sort of snowflake picture right there. And it's just vibrating with the music. The edges are just like shaking with every little beep that's going off. And that starts to zoom back and it turns into what looks like this endless line of the flower of life just going across the sky. And I'm just kind of, you know, amazed at seeing this. This wasn't the first time I've had some sort of vision happen like that while I'm awake. But this was definitely one of the most interesting. And as I'm watching this, it turns into like this grid going all around the earth. And then out of the corner of my eye, I noticed this really, really cheesy, like animated, not even animated, more like a vector graphic of an airplane, a cartoon airplane, just kind of like going across the sky, and it's spewing out all this silvery stream of, you know, some sort of material. And just like Chris, you know, I get kind of annoyed because I don't want it there messing up this vision I'm having. But then I realize that every little particle that's coming out of the back of this plane is joining in this vast web that's going across the sky. And I feel more connected to it. I feel it's more connected to everything around it. I feel that, you know, everything that's happening is just boosting our own broadcast signals, our own realities are overlapping through this. And, you know, whether or not that has anything to do with reality, I think it's interesting to present a different perspective about the possibility of chemtrails. You know, we don't really have the true motives behind why these are happening or what they're for. We just have a lot of speculation and a lot of fear. And sometimes I think in being able to release certain things that are holding us back, it's good to be able to look at it from a different perspective and say, well, maybe the people that are doing this have some sort of higher purpose for it that we just don't fathom yet, and they're not willing to come forward and say, yeah, we're doing this to strengthen the grid or whatever, because that sounds crazy, just like we all know that we've experienced things that sound crazy, and we've kind of found each other in this way that we can share without fear of judgment.
Boy, I have so much to say. Can I jump in, Lisa?
Of course.
I am so glad you called. Did you know that I had a synchronicity with your post?
I imagined you would. At this point, I just figure whenever I put it up there, something's happening with Barb. So.
Well, after I don't know how long it was, but sometime later that day, I actually was watching an episode of The West Wing on Netflix, and the president, played by Martin Sheen, said something like, "Ah, the Fibonacci move. Nice." And I grabbed all that, and I actually put it as a post on the Cool Coincidence page because I'm tracking a few of them, the more interesting ones. And then I had a second related thing. It's not a sync, but it's it's related to what you did. I was so curious about what the Fibonacci music or tone would sound like that I went out and tried to find something on YouTube or something, and I actually found a couple. One was literally a tone made up of several chords, and the other one was a link to a piano playing the Fibonacci sequence in kind of like a scale in a song. And both of them are really interesting, and they're in that same post that I'm talking about. But the cool thing is that I took the piano scale and I actually used it as background for a video that I do for one of my clients every week. He's starting a new series, and I used it as the background. I just wanted to see if the use of the average person would have no idea what it was. They would just hear this beautiful piano music. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to see what impact it would have. And not only did that particular video, which was just posted a few days ago, not only did that get a record number of views in a shorter period of time, he has received two contacts from that. One of them is he does this thing called covered call stock investing. And one of them was from a publisher in California who wants to do this really cool book project with him. And the other one is from a gentleman who wants to do a vlog series with him. And both of them have really high reputations, and they just came out of the blue, and both of them said they happened to hear about him because somebody sent him that link. So that Fibonacci scale and the Fibonacci tone have some amazing alternative ramifications in this world as well. And then the final thing is, on the YouTube video that played the tone, what I noticed was that when I turned my head, some of the chords could be heard and some of them would go away. So depending on where your head is placed, if you move it around while you're listening, they actually, some, you know, they fade in and out. Different chords can be heard. And I thought, gosh, that's really fascinating. So thank you. Thank you so much for posting that and for, you know, making
no
such
problem.
A fun impact in my life in these last few days.
Well, it's amazing to see how literally we are connected. You know, I posted something and that inspired you and that inspired someone else and so on and so forth. And we begin to see how simple it really is, although we have all these complexities in our world and in our universe. You know, sometimes it really is as easy as just smiling at someone or sharing something or whatever. And that's really what my hope is. Anytime I call in and get my courage up and share something that I've been through. And I want to also, before I take off, I want to encourage everyone, if you haven't been lucid dreaming, please get into it. If you need to figure out how, Google it. Ultimately, it's not as hard as people make it out to be. I think it's become much easier over the past year, for me anyway, and I've heard that from other people too. Really all it comes down to is getting as comfortable as you can and just being aware and observing what happens right in front of your eyes. And pretty soon you'll be getting into the dream state in an awake, explorative phase instead of getting stuck in this scenario. For example, you know, we've all had the waking up and you're in school and then suddenly you're in your underwear while you're trying to give a talk or something like that. The goal is to get out of that phase, because I have this feeling that when we dream these negative dreams, we wake up in a negative state and we don't know why, because often we don't remember it. And so the more lucid we can become, the more aware we can become of our dreams, the more we can play. The flip side of that is it can become so amazing, because once you really get into dreaming, it's a fully immersive holographic experience where your sight, your sound, smell, taste, touch, everything is reproduced. And the implications of that are pretty huge. And a lot of times we just kind of, you know, push it to the side. Oh, you know, dreams, everyone has them, whatever. But I feel like one of the things that's happening is almost like space is folding, and the dream world and the real world are starting to merge little by little. And those of us who are gaining that ability to go into these lucid states and make observations and come back and share what we're experiencing are then seeing things happen in the physical world that reflects the dream world.
You know, Tony, don't be frightened to name names, because if someone out there has done some really good work, then, you know, let's support them. Is there someone or someone's work who does...
No, I'm sorry, I'm talking over you. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say, if you've come across somebody who is a good teacher of technique on how to start off with lucid dreaming, then do share.
Well, I'm working on a paper myself to take my observations and my experiences and put them into as simple terms as possible. And once I get that to a level where I think people can work with it easily enough and understand, and I take all the, you know, the inside stuff. You know how when you're putting something together, sometimes you do stuff automatically and you forget about it? That's what I'm mm-hmm. trying to cull out. So there's a process to it. But I really think it's going to be an individual thing for everyone. You know, I sometimes when I'm laying on my back with my hands folded across my chest, that's one of the easiest ways to induce the state. But then sometimes the discomfort from being in that position overrides any kind of benefit you might get from it. And I've had just as much experience being on my side. You know, sometimes you do fall asleep and then you wake up in the dream state and then you go, okay, let me make some observations. Where am I? How clear is it? How sharp is it? One thing I would recommend to people is get in the habit of trying to fly the first thing you do when you wake up in a dream, especially if you're outdoors, because that will free you almost immediately from whatever scenario your mind has put you into, whatever kind of, you know, negative feedback loop that you're trying to work through. And I really do think that dreams are for that, that they bring up old memories, old things, old fears, old paranoias, and it allows you, once you figure it out how to work with it, it allows you to go into that state, experience that almost as if it's a different timeline, and then release the negative energy towards, you know, specific things. I think a lot of us really have, believe it or not, PTSD from being in the public education system. You know, all that kind of the mockery and just the way the social system works and how it kind of eats itself. And then when we get out into the real world, we still haven't dealt with, like, all those negative things that happened to us, especially those of us who had, you know, bullying experiences and things like that. And so we spend our nights trying to get through it. And from my standpoint, you know, we're spending a third of our life in this state. You know, why not make the most of it?
You know, I seem to be going through a period over the last 4 or 5 months of not dreaming at all. Mm-hmm. It's like I'm sleeping so deeply. When I wake up in the morning, I've got no idea. I do wake up with that sense of exhaustion, like I've been really busy, but no memory. And it's just, how do I kickstart off? Can you know, is there any tools for trying to get back into the dream?
Yeah, well, I can share with you that I went through that for a long time. And for me, it was very specific. It was whatever work I was doing, whatever repetitive job I was doing during the day, I would go home, lay down, and instead of sleeping naturally and having a dream, I would all night long basically hallucinate that I was repeating the actions of the day. So, for example, when I was an electronic salesman, I would be trying to sell TVs to invisible beings all night and keeping my wife awake, you know, so my wife's waking up and going, hey, you're trying to sleep. And then you get embarrassed and all that kind of stuff. So, but during that time, same thing, I would wake up exhausted. I would feel like I wouldn't get any rest. And the thing that helped me the most, believe it or not, was medical cannabis. And that allowed me to go back into dreaming, a dreaming state. And through that, I was able to heal that. But it was definitely one of those situations where it was just a negative cycle. You just continue doing the same thing that you've been doing every day. And I think that's kind of a sign that we weren't designed to be that way. You know, if we keep picking those echoes
dreaming
up as we sleep. I'm sorry?
I thought pot stopped you from dreaming.
Not like me. You know, and the thing is, these are all tools that are going to work differently for different people, and I think cannabis is definitely one of those. Some people report they get really paranoid on it, and other people report nothing but good things. And in my experience, there's a definite relation to how you feel about it and how you are in that state. If you feel ashamed of it or you feel like people are coming to get you, you're going to probably experience paranoia. If you mm-hmm. treat it as a spiritual thing and as a medical thing, as part of your health, then it reflects that exactly. So you can either be a person who is just stuck to the chair and can't even talk, or you're going to be a person who's going to be inspired.
I guess it depends on the pot, too.
Right, right. Well, there are different strains and things like that. But
that's
I don't
true.
Want to turn this show into a, you know, a different altered substances.
I don't know. You'd be talking Bob's language.
Yeah.
All I can say is that in my experience, it's been nothing but positive. I was a teetotaler before. I had some medical issues. I would never touch it. And then one day, when I was really suffering and having epileptic experiences and things like that, I was talking to my mother, and she's like, have you ever thought of just going into the medical marijuana industry? Because I know you can't, you're trying to get in to see a doctor, and I was living in California, so it's really, really hard because of the population explosion down there. And when she said that, that just kind of freed me, and I was like, oh, well, I've been thinking about it, but, you know, the one thing that would have kept me from even attempting it was the idea that my parents wouldn't be okay with it, you know. That would be another thing that I would be ashamed of, you know. And so when she said that, it freed me, and I went in, did everything legally, went in and got a card, talked to a physician, and it really helped all of the symptoms that I was experiencing, from chronic pain, from old injuries in the martial arts industry, to, like I said, seizures. And so I can recommend it from my own perspective, but I've also heard from people who are just like, oh, man, I had the most horrible experience. And, you know, so to each their own.
You know, you've brought something up, though. Oh, sorry, Barbara and Bob have both got something to say.
I just wanted to say, if you're interested, a very close friend of mine, his name is Reese Jones. And if you put his name in on YouTube, you'll find a whole slew of videos. He did a whole session on training on lucid dreaming. He's been a dreamer for a very, very long time, and he's got some very, very good. He's a young British guy.
Right. I started lucid dreaming a long time ago, and like Bob, I was raised Jehovah's Witness, and because of that, I was led to believe that, not because anyone else was saying it, but just because you expect demons and you expect Satan and all that kind of stuff. So it freaked me out, and I avoided it until I got older and more mature and said, you know what, this is something natural that's happening to me. I want to explore it, and I want to know more about it, and I want to be able to share with people what it is I'm experiencing. And that's when I started realizing how immersive the dream state can be if you are aware of your surroundings during it, and you can actually, you know, feel yourself moving from a state of being in touch with your body into the avatar of the dream. You know, if we could latch onto this and even, you know, make entertainment out of it, if there was just some way, and I do believe that on some level we're sharing these dreams. I just, you know, don't know where those lines lie yet, and I don't have any proof yet. So I'm just going to keep experimenting, and I encourage anyone else to experiment. I mentioned in the chat room when we were doing the countdown that I had been going to a trans-dimensional hotel over and over again, experiencing that, like a hotel and theme park that's designed to get people used to their abilities in the dream and being able to be in different states of awareness and so on and so forth. And there's different levels. There's infinite floors to this place, and each one goes out into a different environment. So if anyone wants to try and get there and say hi and, you know, find some way to document that you've been there and that I've been there and, you know, things like that, that's what I'm looking for, is just other ways that we're connected through the dream.
Well, there was a meditation that we did once with Michael and Peter, that, and I ended up in this crystal castle. And I don't know if you guys remember that, but that's something I have visited before. There's a place that I've, this big crystal castle that I have visited before. In meditation, predominantly, sometimes in my sleep state, and then once during that meditation with Michael and Peter. So,
I'm sorry, I'm just talking over people.
No, go. No, you're fine.
I was going to say, you know, I think that part of it is in being able to recreate the same experience over and over again until it becomes persistent. Once it becomes persistent, then other people can try to get to that same state and see if there's overlap.
Yeah. Barbara, you had something you wanted to add too.
Yeah, sorry, I was actually typing something. I was just going to say, when he was talking about using marijuana clinically, that interview I was telling you guys about before we went on the air with Susan Sarandon and Eckhart Tolle, Susan said to Eckhart at one point, she said, you know, whatever is the, you know, the essence or whatever that made all of this, put these things here. They put the marijuana, they put the mushrooms, they put this, they put that. And why would that be? Mm. It's not man-made. Why would that be if there isn't an intent for us to use them? You know, and I've asked myself that question many a times, blah, blah, blah. But I just thought that was interesting, and she's right. And that goes along with what he was just saying.
Well, the more ways we can find that we don't need to play the game in order to find fulfillment, the less the game matters. And, of course, those who are in power want us to keep playing the game. I don't know how aware those in power are that they're in a game. I think a lot of people, once they're in something like that, they tend to go to sleep. I think Congress is a game. The military-industrial complex is a game. The prison-industrial complex is a game. All these things are different games that people are playing, the wealth procurement game, you know.
Now, the one thing I just wanted to say before you do leave us, excuse me, is you mentioned seizures.
Mm-hmm.
And I've shared on the show a few times that you know, I experienced epilepsy as a kid. And I've got a book you might be interested in. It was written by an Italian professor. The only reason I've got it is because his niece is someone I'm acquainted with, and she did the English translation. And when she heard me talk about epilepsy, she sent me a copy of the book. But it's a study of mystics and geniuses and savants, saints, you know, over the years, and they've all experienced epilepsy. They've all experienced seizures, and what the implications are, and what this really is all about. So if you're interested, I can send you a copy.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Okay. Remind me on Facebook, and I'll send it to you there.
And just to touch on my own experience with those seizures, you know, while you're going through them, at least for me, there was nothing but fear and pain and lights flashing off and on, and you don't know if you're experiencing pain or not, but it just feels like switches keep coming on and off. But yeah, in reviewing what I've been through, reviewing those experiences, that I recognized that there were images embedded in what I was seeing during those seizures. Time would skip and things like that. I would feel electrical shocks, but I would also see like high definition images, you know, so it's almost like there's a form of communication going on here.
Yeah, yeah. I experienced
anyway, the whole
thing.
I love what you're doing. Thank you so much for providing a forum for those of us who are experiencing these types of things to come together and share. And I look forward to the next show.
We love you.
Thank you, Tony. Thank you for calling
and
sharing and participating.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. And Tony, one of these days we'll have to catch up and we'll exchange our stories.
Yeah, I'll look you up on Facebook and we'll talk about broken childhood.
Yeah.
All right, talk to you later.
Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Oh, wow.
Whilst we're on the subject of Dreamtime, and Lisa will know where this comment comes from, there is a concept kicking around that as far as the human consciousness is concerned, the point where we all connect that we can point to and say there's evidence of the collective imagination is dream time. Because according to this character that Lisa and I ran across, everybody is in the same place in dream time. They're just forming their own reality and they don't necessarily overlap with other people in dream time. But that if you learn to lucid dream properly, you can actually meet in dream time and have any experiences that you want individually or collectively.
I liked that bit about communication. I liked that.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know whether I've ever shared this story before, but it's a brief one and I'll do it before we go to a song break. I moved in my 20s, I moved into a share house in Melbourne with a young guy who I didn't know very well at the time. And it was a 4-bedroom house. And he and I moved in first, and like a month a month later, my brother and his wife were coming back from the States to move in with us as well. So we had this big share house, and there was only the two of us in it. We'd only been there a couple of nights. My room was near the back door, typical old big sort of Melbourne Federation number where long hallway down the centre and all the rooms come off it. His room's up one end, my room's down the other, near the back door. I sit up in bed and then sort of float out, up out of my bed. I see him float down the hallway past my bedroom door and out the back door, and I go out my window and we meet in the backyard. We're flying through the backyard, and then we both just take off and go up. And we're flying out in space at this point. And then there's a UFO, and I go up along, and I'm flying alongside the UFO, and I actually put my hand out and touch it, and I can feel it. And still to this day, and this is 20 years ago, I can feel the texture of this UFO on my hand. And then the dream gets all a bit hazy, and but I know I'm out there flying around with this thing for ages, and I know who's in it as well. I know the occupants of this thing. They're familiar to me. So the next morning, I get up, and we both sort of meet in the kitchen, and we turned around to each other and went, had the weirdest dream last night. And we looked at each other, and we compared notes, and we both had full memory of the exact same dream. He remembers going down the hallway and seeing me in the backyard. It was bizarre. And I didn't know him very well.
Wow.
So not like we had this long history or anything. So that was a cool one.
Yeah. Now, have you guys ever heard of the Munro Institute?
Yes.
Okay, because that's exactly the sort of experience that I've heard described from people who've been to it. It's an institute in the United States where they actually teach you to have out-of-body experiences. And they do it by sensory deprivation. They do it in you know, dark rooms that are isolated from the point of view of sound as well as light. And they teach you techniques to enable you to essentially lucid dream, go out of body, meet your friend in the cubicle next door, and go off and explore the universe. Same deal, but they can actually train people to do it. Now, this is not new. This is stuff that's been kicking around for ages. And it would appear that, you know, are we living in a dream? Is this a dream we're having now? When we dream, are we just a dream? We're just dreaming in a dream? And if the veil is going to thin and we're going to have more direct access to what we see as this other place, we have to get our heads around the fact that, well, maybe it's all the same place and we're just actually going to learn how to actually be in both of those modes at once. I'm looking forward to it.
On that, I wanted to mention something on that note, because we had mentioned it a little bit earlier about all this stuff that's happening between the 21st until now. And for a lot of people, they'll look around and they'll say nothing happened. You know, their perception of their reality, because where they're locked, they didn't notice anything happened. But what if something really did happen? What if everything that we ever thought and dreamed of actually did become a reality and we're just not aware of it?
Well, Bob, I think it's time to go for a song break. And when we get back, we're going to go straight into it. So I'm leaving this up to you to introduce and play this song, because you're the one with the story on this one.
Well, you know, this song was, when I was teaching in Spain, this song was passed around amongst a lot of the students, and we've tried to search and find who did this song. We couldn't find the name, we couldn't find anyone. I've even put lyrics in to try to find out who does this song, and we couldn't find it. So we nicknamed the song Mushroom Journeys, and if anyone has ever heard it and you know what it is, please let me know, because we've been looking for years. So it's about 6 minutes long.
Can't hear anything yet, Bob.
He That's okay. We have the bird accompaniment in the meantime.
if you're playing it, we can't hear it. Now maybe even Bob can't hear us. This will be an interesting song break.
Well, Bob's going to have a nice song
it's
there.
Called, it's called Mushroom Something or Other, so let's just, you know, make up your own music for the next 6 minutes.
Have to share it with us after the event.
All right, Bob, I don't know what to do about that. Maybe I should just play something from this end.
I think he probably should.
Okay.
Yeah, he might think his song is actually playing.
Yeah, and he can't hear us. Okay. What have we got?
I'm sorry, I was muted. That's why.
Yeah, if you do that, none of us could hear anything.
I'm sorry, I apologize. I'll try it again.
Take two.
Very easy to be blinded. If things are repeated too many times, you believe in it and it becomes a habit. And that to me is not right. Blind.
Tree breathe, a loser leaf, plant new seed, numerous new means to realize true dreams, realign new needs, unique keys, we sell seeds of an enemy, enemies in my inner mind, I'm in the midst of them in the mind, amongst the cannibals who call themselves civilized, living lies, giving eyes to the disguise, skies overlooking all the mistimed lives, who derive from a mistied kind, hands freed from a mistied bind, to rewrite the times lined with Midas minds, who can't see what the inside that guides us finds, it finds time. Timeless rhymes and chimes endless time. Shines light through the paradigms of the pantomimes of the magpie misers who bear their incisors at wise advisors like vipers.
Ripers.
The apple of peace, so weave what you perceive into material for us to believe, to bleed lust, to be lost at sea. An anonymous anomaly, phenomenies made to fight life with their modesty maimed and honesty tamed. A copy of a picture in autonomous frames, in ominous lanes, darkened by our honorless way. The cascade through a maze as nights make days, and so the light fades as the bright shades show inner age. From our inner page where we incubate rage and imitate plays in alliterate ways. If you rise,
realize
life relies on lifelines of love's light to ignite inner sight in all of a kind to shine if you're falling behind blind in the binds of the intertwined vines of the inner mind's line sublime to climb high from the village of villains within the fine of vanilla sky. Music is a guide astride where love strives to survive, a force that be to keep the hive alive, which drives light through the lines of lies, replies to the wise, sees through the alibis that divide, hidden in the pulse that we idolize, beside the signs that deny tranquility, my positivity, my soul symmetry, spirituality, avidly animating that anime, not animal underlaid, the thirst for the runaway, stray for the sun of another day, delay to your morning, the matinee, of active accolades, like love to pray, and the coins to fade, to afraid, or a face afraid, to face, feel and find, the real strength that make mankind kind, decline, the incline, from the bottom of the mind, of the modern day monotonous grind, I find a firefly, desire rise to the higher eye, inspire I, and I try to define why. Write my message in the passage of passivity and pour positivity on cynical simile. If it's what you want to be, just be. Don't force what you need to see when you see weak in me. I'm just trying to run free on a weakened knee. Bad advice is advice and a seedless tree. You see the apple bears a cross, but the leaves are free. My girl, you're the sun that believes in me. You make similar a second and a century. Cause I trust in the things that are meant to be. But we're a drop in the sea of locks and keys, submerged in the rocks and reefs under the the troughs and peaks. I make my way to the beaches, the sharks retreat upon the raft of the past with the master feet. Repeat last defeat and shine malachite eyes where a kite flies. Cloud color to lies, I am the number nine, and I pine for my one to find. And I pine for my one in mind, one in heart, one in eye. Under the tide, I swim paralyzed. Letters from the riverside, written to my inner mind. Rise from the minimized, hide from the hypnotized. Talk to the victimized, sympathize, empathize. Right. Until we learn to love each other blind.
Blind.
Without prejudice, without racism, without hatred, without negativity, without ignorance. Until we see what unites all religions, all visions, all minds, all missions. Until we break repetition.
Break repetition.
That's what I see.
That's what I see.
Blind things are repeated too many times. Blind things have become the habit. Blind. How you are, who you are, how you are structured, how you are built, how you are made. It doesn't matter. Many times you believe in it and it becomes a habit. That to me is not right.
Oh my God, Bob, I want that. I want it on my iTunes. Oh, I loved it. Is there any way that you can have it uploaded to our Facebook page so that anybody who wants a copy of it can download it? That was brilliant.
You know what I can do, Lisa? If Bob sends it to me, the Collective Imagination has a SoundCloud account, and I can load it there and then post that link on the Collective Imagination page where you can just listen to it right from the player there.
Oh, nice.
You have to thank my students, Toby and Takumi in Spain, because...
Well, thank you, Toby and Takumi in Spain, because that was awesome. I can just imagine you guys all sitting around, actually quite stoned in Spain, listening to that song over and over and over again, and probably got to the point where you were reciting it, I would imagine.
Yeah, Bob, send me any information you want to make sure I put in the description, and it's yours.
I actually do have the lyrics to it.
Oh, that would be the icing.
Bob,
on the cupcake. In the pancake.
Was it given to you as an MP3 originally?
Yeah, it was given to me as an MP3.
Did you ever check the internal tags?
Yeah, we did.
Mm, damn. They definitely sound English or Irish to me. And it's got to be trackable. Someone has to know.
To me, they sounded black. Not being racist and...
Yeah, I thought they sounded Jamaican.
They sounded black to me.
Mm. No, look, to my ear, I had a stepson who was Jamaican, so I have a very, I'd have some direct experience of Jamaican man, but...
Well, maybe they're Jamaican Irishmen.
Oh, look, now there's a lot of... Well, there's a
Chris,
lot
as
of,
an Australian, you should never try a Jamaican accent.
No, man. I used to get howls of derisive laughter when I tried to outdo them on Jamaican, don't worry. But look, there's an awful lot of English people. I mean, the West Indies are essentially an English colony, so there's a lot of strange accents in that region of the world.
It is a perfect lead into what we're going to talk about now. Now, God, where do we even start? Prior to the countdown, in the weeks leading up to that, we talked a lot about creating a vision for ourselves about what we want life to look like post-2012. We asked you to write your visions on the Facebook page, start sharing them in whatever way you wanted to, and, you know, essentially we all want the same thing. We all want to be free in every sense of the word. We want prosperity and abundance and health and joy and love and peace and all of these beautiful things for ourselves and for the entire planet. No matter what it looks like to you, on the surface, the essential desire is the same for everybody. And on the 25th of December, something went live online, which seems to be the answer to our collective intent. You know, as we got closer and closer to the 21st of December, people, you could feel it, people were being asked to make a choice within themselves. What does this mean for me? What is it all about? Is it the end of the world? Am I going to be frightened? Am I going to embrace it as a period of change? You know, what am I going to do? How am I going to feel? And a lot of people made a choice to be positive. You could feel it. I could feel it. I think we all could feel it, especially throughout the countdown show. And it's amazing that to see that we may have just created, really created, what we were asking for and what we were putting our collective intent towards. Now, the question is, do we recognize it when it happens? Can we believe it and accept it when it happens? Because how many times have you put out there for more money, for example, and suddenly you get an offer of a job that sounds too good to be true, or it's not quite what you wanted, but even though it has more money attached to it, it doesn't look the way you thought it was going to look, so you reject it. Now, here we are in a situation where humanity collectively has put a call out. We've said, I think we've hit the hundredth monkey. We've reached a number of people who have, whether they've consciously done it or not, have made that choice and have made a decision. I've had enough. This is it. I'm done. I don't want the world to stay like this. I'm ready for change. And we've put that call out collectively. And now we want to talk about what we've noticed amongst us here at the TCI crew that could well be the answer to that call. Now, some of you are going to be aware of this, some of you might not be, and it's still being hotly debated online as to its validity and its implications. But here we go. Bob, I'm going to let you go from here.
Oh, boy. what appears to have happened, and this has been going on and been talked about, like Lisa said, online, so you may have heard of it. But it, apparently, there has been a foreclosure done on the Bank of International Settlements, on all of the corporate governments. All debt has been canceled, and all peoples have been freed, and money secured for prosperity here and ever after. And this went on quietly behind the scenes where, and we've been just putting pieces together. There's a lot of coincidences that, you know, are speculative, to say the least. The disappearance of certain people in high positions, absconded in hospitals and things like that. Apparently there was, what we're being told was that a lot of these, all of these leaders have been basically snatched and grabbed, brought before a court, and been given an option: either agree to uphold the benefit of the people or go to jail for treason against the people. And this has been going on with all of the different Congress members, that they were all brought into closed doors under the fiscal cliff meetings and explained the new regime that's going to start taking place here. Now, whether this is true or not, it's very highly speculative, but What if?
Well, there are people in the chat room who've heard about it, and they're glad we're discussing it. So, excuse me. I'm glad we're discussing it too, because in context, there's a lot of different contexts in which to discuss this, but just for the moment, discussing it in terms of the collective imagination context, you know, this is what we've all been asking for. We've been asking for freedom. And, you know, clearly there's been a lot of talk over the last couple of years of what that might look like, and, you know, the Galactics were going to do it and come and free us, and certainly on this show we've talked about we are the answer. We are the ones we've been waiting for. And if this turns out to be what it certainly appears to be on the surface, then that's exactly what's happened. It is us that has done this. It is us who have freed us. So I wanted to just reinforce that context of the collective intent and how much of it was put on this subject over the course of last year. And then right bang smack in the middle of the end of December 2012 period, it all broke through. So let's give ourselves a little bit of acknowledgement and credit for the intensity and the focus with which we put this intent out. That's what I wanted to pipe in and say. Go for it, Bob, if you want.
I think Lisa has a train problem, Bob.
I just muted myself because one was going past, yes.
I can tell you the research that I've done on it. The UCC filings are real. A lot of the documents that they're based on, I've actually looked up the court cases, and they're also real. So it could be that this has actually really happened, and just the majority of people are unaware of it yet. Also included in this whole thing that Obama is no longer the president, and Bonner has been sworn in as interim president until the disclosure is made. So it's one of those things, you know. We've been talking amongst ourselves, and this seems to be the tendency of the reaction. You either get people who react to it like and say, "Oh my God, I'm so happy," and they're jumping up and down and excited, and others who just look at it and say it's too good to be true. And because people have been disappointed so many times over and over and over and over again, and I stopped and I started to think. I said, "Do you hear what you're saying? You have made out an intention. Something presented itself that fit perfectly into your intention, and then your fear of being disappointed override your excitement of the reality of what's to come, and you get disappointed. And people have become so afraid of being disappointed, I think a lot of times they reject their own creations. But this seems to be something that really is something that's gone through."
Okay, so for those, Bob, who aren't aware of it, don't know anything about what we're talking about, I will just grab the website so that they can go and have a look, and I'll put it in the chat room. But what do you think is the easiest way of giving, you know, an understanding of what this is?
Well, I think if we just have a quick discussion about the sequence of the documents that create what appears to be the structure of this action that's been taken on our behalf by a very small group of people, but a very small group of very experienced UCC lawyers who decided to take up the charge on behalf of humanity and fix the system.
Now, I know that our regular audience understands the way the world's structured. But if we've got any new members or new audience listeners out there who don't, you're going to have to take our word for it for the moment. But by all means, go off and do your own research. The world has been corporatized, if you didn't know that already. You know, the governments that you think are governments are not governments. They are corporate entities masquerading as governments. All banks are corporate. And you can take that right up to the Bank of International Settlements and the IMF and the World Bank and what have you. Now, this whole corporate world, what this group is saying is that this whole corporate world has now been foreclosed on by the people. So when, for example, a bank comes and forecloses on your house and they take it off you and they become the new owners, we, as the people, have foreclosed on the corporate world. And they have had their means frozen. Am I being accurate in everything I'm saying here? So bail me up if I'm wrong.
Well, no.
You've read more of the documents than any of us, I think.
Probably not.
Okay.
I'm not going to make that claim.
I mean, if you like, I'll give you the thumbnail view that I gave in our earlier discussion, guys, about what they actually did. Do you think that's appropriate?
Yeah.
Okay. So here's how I'm seeing it at the moment. And I've gone through about probably a bit over 50% of the documents. They're very complex. They're pretty hard to read. But what's becoming clear to me, there's been a very definite sequence of events, and that one part's been built on another, and there's an aspect to this which we may not even get to today, which is even more stunning. But essentially what they did was they took up the abandoned public trust that was left over from the original Constitution of the United States, which was surreptitiously replaced by a corporate one in, I think, the 1870s or 80s, just after the Civil War. They bonded themselves as trustees in perpetuity. They, from that platform, they then proceeded to carry out a whole lot of legal filings based on some court cases that they'd won, and essentially created an entity. They defined an entity in their own filings called the debtor, which you just simply think of as the system, as the corporate system. And that includes, as Lisa said, all the corporate governments, all the banks, everything we see around us that's corporatized was in this entity called the debtor. They then accused the debtor of treason and said, "We've accused you of treason, now rebut it. Prove us wrong." And no one rebutted it. And on the basis of the complete lack of rebuttal, of course, because if you've done any research into what the system really looks like and how it really operates, it's completely corrupt and bent against us from end to end, and there is not enough paper on the planet to write down all of the crimes against us that have been committed in the last couple of hundred years. So, funnily enough, no rebuttal. And on the basis of that, the trustees claimed a remedy, a cure, a remedy for the tort, for the harm that they'd done. And the remedy was simply this, that all of the assets that they'd been misusing, that is the wealth of this planet on which the whole system is supposedly based in the background, was claimed of, for, and by the people forever, taken from them. They also terminated the debtor. They were cancelled, fired, foreclosed upon. That's the point at which all the debt was actually cancelled, because the corporate entities were dissolved at that point. And at this point, as it stands, the assets of the planet, which they've identified as all the gold and silver, are bonded in the hands of the people via the public trust. And this asset, and they're going, they say they're actually going to give more information fairly soon about how we individually can make use of this asset. This asset is now available directly to us. There is no government or financial system in between us and this asset. We are in charge of the money at this point in time. Now, that's my take on it at the moment. I'll have to give a disclaimer, Bob. That's my personal take on it at the moment. And I could be wrong on some of the details, but I think the overall result I'm describing is accurate at this point.
And what they're saying is verifiable accounts for each individual man, woman, and child on the planet, a sum of about $10 billion in gold and silver, including the damages and the remedy for all of the money that they've misused. Also, you know, they've filed these filings and made them part on the public record. So you can actually use these filings if anyone's presenting any sort of bill to you, is what they're saying. You can use these filings, use these documents, and cite these document numbers and basically tell them to go fuck off.
Well, now, let me translate what Bob just said. You can actually tell them it's prepaid.
I don't think fuck off needs any translation, Chris.
I'd prefer to use that term, but the legal term is probably something like prepaid or already settled. But fuck off's pretty good too.
Yeah, that's universal. Everyone knows that one. So,
hell yeah.
No legalese.
The set of documents they've put up, are very comprehensive. They're very intense legal documents. And the people around the planet have sort of been, since it was released on December 25th, which is, you know, a bit over 2 weeks ago, so many people have been focused on trying to work out what it is they've actually done. And there was an interview with one of the trustees last week, which was very illuminating, and we'll certainly hear more from them. And one of the things that's become clear to me in how I think about how this will unfold is that the system itself really hasn't grasped, or most of the system really hasn't grasped just what's happened. And not sure exactly what their response will be when they do. It'll probably be, oh, you're kidding, go away, that can't be real. But my view on it is that the governments in the corporate world have been chopped off from the asset they've been using to fund themselves for hundreds of years, and that they will eventually wither on the vine, and it'll be replaced by whatever it is that we, the people, actually replace it with.
You know, someone's just put a question in the chat room. Is this real? I'm not sure. I don't know why. I don't see anyone saving us with funds. It's not about saving us with funds, in my understanding of it at all. It's simply removing the funds the corporate world has been using in order to sustain itself. They've been cut off from them. And anybody who's ever gone down the straw man and sovereignty understands that ultimately you get to a point where the people with the biggest guns win, right? And if their access to the resources they use to buy the guns is cut off, and they have their standing, which is their whole corporate charter, is proven to be and treasonous, they don't have a leg to stand on. So this is going to take a while to filter through. But again, I want to bring it back to our collective intent. But everybody who's out there is going, I don't know if this is true. I don't want to get my hopes up. It can't be true. It's too good to be true. If we continue to give our collective intent on the outcome that this is trying to achieve, then we're going to get there. Now, maybe the people's trust will fall over. But if, and I'm not talking about us giving our intent and our energy towards the people's trust specifically, but to the outcome it's attempting to achieve. And if we continue to do that, as we've been doing right throughout 2012, then something's going to get over the line eventually. And we're getting closer and closer and closer. Look how many different groups, different processes, different attempts have come up over the last 6 months in particular, whether it's Neil Keenan and whether it's David Wilcock or and the, you know, the October surprise stuff or whatever it is, there's more and more attempts by different groups around the world to achieve the same goal. And it's not ultimately going to be about someone coming in and giving you a bucket load of money, but it's going to be the control system's ability to implement and enforce its control over you is going to diminish more and more. And I hope that makes sense. Does it make sense? Or am I just rambling at this point?
Look, it's such a difficult subject to discuss. There's going to be a fair bit of rambling and navel gazing to get one's head around it. But essentially, my view is that forget about the money. It actually never was an issue. It was a tool that was used by the system to control us. and that from the point of view of in the future, and it's going to take a while to get there, this is going to take a while to shake down, in the future, that aspect of life, the survival aspect that we're all subjected to, is the other thing that's going to wither on the vine. It just won't matter. It won't matter anymore because our day-to-day needs will be met. And what will happen to humanity is that the focus we've put on survival for these, especially the last couple of hundred years, is going to flow into creativity. It's going to flow into things that will benefit everybody. That's the thing to look forward to.
Money will become irrelevant.
Mm.
It really will. I mean, think about it. What's the point?
If everybody on the planet's got $10 billion, it becomes pointless, yes.
What's the point? What's the point, you know? You've got what I need. I need it. You know, you like to make it. Let's trade. It's, you know, in an open and free society, it's really not necessary. Because we're all working for each other's benefit. You know, if I invent the cure for cancer, which happens to be cannabis, I'm sure surely going to share it with everyone.
I will just briefly share with everybody that I have had contact with Heather, one of the trustees of the People's Trust, and she has confirmed, and it is mentioned in the documents, and I believe she mentioned it on the other interview that she did, that they are working on what she's just calling them the tools to that will allow us to start actually having practical tools to implement this stuff for ourselves in our own lives. So that's what they're sort of fervently working on at the moment. Once they're up, and I'm still trying to get a commitment from her, I'd like to have her on this show. I was going to do like just one of my one-on-one interviews with her, but I think this show would be a better forum. And if I can get her to do that, that would be great. But it won't happen until after these tools are online. And there's another interesting element to this. I mean, as another individual I was put into contact with over the last month or so is an individual whose name I can't give you at the moment, but it's apparently the owner or majority shareholder and signatory for the Bank of International Settlements. Now, there's been dialogue between myself and him and then back between myself and Heather, and, you know, essentially what looks like has happened is the One People's Trust have foreclosed on the Bank of International Settlements, and the Bank of International Settlements predominant shareholder is kicking and screaming and saying no, it can't be happening, but it's certainly getting a response from him, and this is it's been an interesting thing to sort of be participating in, but there's only so much I've pretty much shared all I can share on that one, but as soon as Heather's available, as soon as Heather's got these tools up online, hopefully we can get her on this program so that we can talk to her about what they mean and how we go about using them. I can't make any promises yet, obviously. Still talking to her about it. But these tools, she wouldn't even commit to a time frame, but the hints that I've picked up on are we are looking at them in the short term, you know, the next week or so.
Mm. Now, what those tools will actually be, and Bob and I have talked about how this would work out for us, initially they'll probably be techniques for clearing all debt, techniques for dealing with current court proceedings, and hopefully techniques for dealing with the requests for government to you know, cough up your hard-earned cash, that is the IRS. Because one of the things about this whole situation, and there's another aspect to it which we probably should move on to as well, which is some blog releases from last week by a couple of people who are involved,
mm-hmm.
is that the Federal Reserve System has been obviously already been subsumed and has actually been shut down. in conjunction with the foreclosure that the trustees have done on the Bank of International Settlements, which reflects down the system to all of its member banks, which essentially means that all the reserve banks at this point in time theoretically don't exist. Now, all of these structures are going to continue because the system has got much momentum. It's actually up to us to use the tools to clear up our own personal situation, thereby notifying the system that we know what's going on and we're actually going to move in that direction. And as more people do it, they can't help but be affected by that and ultimately lead to the withering on the vine that I'm expecting because of the lack of funds. Because what happens when you, especially if you perform the separation processes such as the Divine Providence, where you reclaim your sovereignty as a human being, along with those two things, you're actually pulling out of the system. You're taking your energy from the system. And to put it bluntly, they won't get any more tax money. They need that. It's their lifeblood. And ultimately, this is going to be a death by attrition as far as governments are concerned. And there is a structure that all the same group of people that as part of this project have actually created and prepared, and we're actually trying to get around our heads around that as well, because that's something that could well be in our future. Dead silence. Bob, please feel free to jump in.
When you start to think about it. You know, because we've been thinking about it for a few days now since the announcement came out. It takes a while to sink in what that really means. When you really think about it, that means no more borders. There's no more debt. I'm free. It takes a while to sink in. So, you know, now what do we do? And you described exactly, you know, we can start now, if it is true, to start to be free. How is that done?
Well, you know, it took from the 25th of December, Christmas Day, I guess, for the first week and a bit, I kept crying. I just kept crying at the drop of a hat. And I was talking to Heather about it, and she said the same thing happened to her when she started to sort of move through all this. Was, we don't really know what freedom looks like and tastes like. Not really. We have glimpses and we have moments, but we've never in our lifetime been truly free. And I've had waves of it wash over me in the last couple of weeks, and it's a very emotional place to go. And you kind of, you know, it's like being taken out of a very small box and being put into a larger box. Okay, that feels great. And you feel free for a minute until you realize where the new boundaries are. And then you get put into a bigger box and you realize eventually where those boundaries are. And every now and then there's this wave that goes over me where there's just no boundaries. And it's an extraordinary, unfamiliar on many levels, but really familiar very deep down feeling. And that's what I've been trying to deal with on an emotional level. That's what this information really does.
Now, for those people out there who are sitting there saying, prove it, because there are so many, and I completely concur with their feeling that, you know,
disprove it.
Over till the fat lady sing. Yeah, well, disprove it. Here's my advice. The tools that are coming out are things that we use at street level. That's where we'll get our proof. Just watch this space. Go over the documents as much as you can. Listen to any commentary about it. You'll hear a lot of people attacking it, saying it's a fraud, it's this, it's that, it's the other thing. I haven't heard any arguments at this point which say these UCC filings can't take effect because of X, Y, and Z. That's what I haven't been hearing. I've just been hearing, oh, it can't be because I haven't heard it from my contacts or the person who made the very silly comment of, oh, I went and asked, you know, some people who own banks and they said it's a load of rubbish. Well, it's like asking a gangster if he's a gangster. You know, try asking a criminal, are you guilty of the crime? Oh, no, Your Honor. It's a silly way to try and get proof. So at this stage, what I'd really hope people will do is familiarize themselves with the documents as much as possible. And there'll be a lot of commentary about it. When the tools come out, that's the time to really focus on how do I actually use these things. And we're going to be working on it too, and so will literally hundreds of thousands of others. And we'll work out how to use them, and we'll soon find out just how much water this thing holds. So that proof is coming.
One of the things I found impressive was Heather actually allowed her house to go into foreclosure to test it, and actually was able to prove that these filings did work, because she would go into the court and basically everyone would run.
Yeah, and I believe it was done under a deceptive acts and practices approach in court, using these filings as the proof, because the accusation of those deceptive acts was never rebutted in the filings.
Well, the people who are looking for proof, like you said, it's like asking the mafia if they're crooks. What you're asking by going to the banks and by going to anybody in the corporate world and asking for evidence, what you're asking them for is, have you been made redundant? Are you now powerless? Have you been foreclosed on? They're not going to admit that.
And you're also asking them to admit to treason.
Yes.
Yes. Very serious business. And there's no, unfortunately, due to the complexity of the situation, there's no easy way to read these documents. You just, if you want to get to the truth of it, you just need to plow through them. My recommendation is that you start with the trustee bonds, which are clearly identified, and then work your way back through this particular document in the orders menu called Declaration and Order, which is somewhat of a summary document, which is not a bad place to start either. And from that point, you could just start reading, because you really, if you want to go beyond that, you really have to read most of the documents to absorb how it was actually carried out. Now, like many things, we don't need to be looking under the bonnet unless we've got a really, you know, we've got an affection for watching machinery at work. So you don't necessarily need to wade through all these documents. But we do have people around us who have further acquaintances who are involved in UCC law, and we're trying to get as many opinions as we can at this point. And everything keeps leading back to Rome. We're waiting for indications of exactly how to use this. In fact, Bob, you might describe your initial response to, oh, what can I do with this, in terms of the gold-back certificate you were thinking of creating, and the comment we got about doing that or not doing it.
Well, my idea is, basically, all of the wealth of the world has been given back to the people. You know, all of the wealth of this planet is supremely rich, more so, I couldn't even count all the zeros, more so than any of us ever imagined. And since we are in control of all of that wealth, any human being has the ability to issue any kind of currency they want if we decide that we even want to use currency. So typically, you have a shared wealth, whatever that value is, you can, you know, print out a certificate, you know, based on that wealth, a gold certificate for however much currency it is that you need, and then use it for trade. But it's your energy that gives it credit. It's you the living person, the work and the your contribution to being here on this planet is basically what you're trading. And I really envision a world where we don't need to have a paper symbol of that, but in the interim, it may be something that we will use for a period of time.
And we actually, one of the things we have to get our heads around is the fact that the value comes from us. We are the signatories now for that value. In fact, we always were, but the system wouldn't allow you to do that, or at least it convinced us that we weren't allowed to do that. And what we've been given is permission to accept, to believe that we actually do. And this is actually us reclaiming our birthright. This is the our share of the equity of this world by virtue of the fact we're born and are a living being on this world. And that's what it comes down to. It's that particular aspect, which is an area that we've never been allowed near by the system. The system was controlling that equity.
Now, just want to add a word here on Heather and the other two trustees. I mean, this isn't about making Heather our saviour either, or the three trustees. You know, the collective intent works, has to work through someone. And, you know, they say that God works in mysterious ways. I mean, it wasn't I don't think the idea was going to occur to all of us at the same time about how to get this done. But it, through our collective intent, it's worked its way into the hearts and the minds of people who had the experience and the knowledge in order to take this where it needed to go. She happens to represent that for us right now. But if that's how we could see her, simply as a representation of our collective intent, then I think that's the best way to see her. Don't put her on a pedestal. Don't make her the face of anything. It's just right here, right now, in this particular way, that's where our intent is being channeled.
Yeah. If you read the trustee bonds, they are accepting a huge responsibility for ensuring transparency, for ensuring they're acting on behalf of the people. And if you read the trustee bonds and really take on board what's going on, they take full personal responsibility for their actions. And one of the aspects of the whole paradigm shift that's taking place now is that we also will be required to take full responsibility for all our actions. That's what it means to be sovereign. Because we're not a sovereign, we are sovereign. We are taking responsibility for everything we say, everything we do in where our interactions with the world around us. And that's their starting point for bonding themselves to the position of trustee. And that continues all of the way through all of their documentation. And it reaches a point, if you go through the documents on the website, you'll see a menu called CVAC. That has a very specific meaning, and it's an acronym which I'm actually going to read out what it actually means, because it too is something that appears to be in our future. And they're called Creators Value Asset Centers. They are essentially a structure for a new form of governance. It's fractal in nature, it's crystalline in nature, and again, it's completely transparent and guarantees non-usurpation, non-usury, no violence, maintenance of the right of free will at all levels. You can't have a structure inside what they're proposing unless it meets those criteria. Given what I have to emphasize what Bob said before, what they've done through this action is essentially remove the entire system in one hit. It's just not there anymore. It's actually gone. So what do you replace that vacuum with? Okay, they've given us the skeleton, something with an incredible ethical base, which we can, if we get it right, do anything that we want to do, and it will actually never be able to be used against us.
Can I just interrupt you for a second, Chris? Because I want to ask Barbara, if we go over time, Barbara, what happens? Does it cut off, the live thing cut off?
Since we're broadcasting for 2 hours, then it will give us a courtesy few minutes, but we get 2 hours a day, so it will...
It keeps recording, doesn't it? It'll go into the...
It'll only record until it disconnects us. So we could get 2 minutes, we could get 5, we could get 15, we could get an hour. It really depends on Blog Talk. But my experience is it gives us between 3 and 7, only because it's a 2-hour broadcast.
Okay. That's all. If we keep, okay. If we get cut off, people, there might be more in the recording after.
Yeah, look, I don't want to go into any details on the CVAC structure at the moment, but simply to say it's there, and if you get through enough of the reading and if your brain hasn't completely exploded, which mine's been doing daily since December the 25th and will continue to, then press on and read through the CVAC material, because essentially the initial actions, and we need to talk about the blogs that were put out last week, the initial actions remove the corporate structures that have been placed over government surreptitiously, leaving the original constitutions that were generally done as vestiges of colonialism. But, as I said, they will likely wither on the vine as people pull out of the system over a period of time and need to be replaced. And the way that they've structured the CVAC is, to me at the moment, it appears that the only, apart from individual access to the assets by whatever tools we're going to be, you know, given to use that, and whatever other stuff we make up by ourselves, once we get the principles of how to do it, we'll probably do other things as well. But the only other way of accessing the value of those assets is via the CVAC structure, because that's what the trustees have stipulated. The other, there will be no none of the old systems will be able to use those assets in the way they've been using them. They've been chopped off at every level permanently forever. So if you want to think about freedom in those terms, we are free. Again with the silence.
I just want everyone to soak that up.
Yeah, it's hard to get your head around. I think we've probably talked about
the concept, aside from, you're free, you know, just start really getting that. We asked this very question on this show not that long ago. What does the world, because when we were asking people, what does the world look like, you know, post 2012? And some people had a real hard time getting their head around an idea and coming up with an image for that. And I said, what does it look like if the cabal are gone? What does it look like if the Illuminati are gone? Then what does the world look like?
You know, there's a scripture.
It might just have happened.
There's a scripture in the Bible, a prophecy in the Bible, and I'll just quote it because it's relevant. It says, "The hour is coming, and the wicked one will be no more. You will certainly pay attention to his place, but he simply will not be." And
wow.
Look at, you know, and it's almost like one of those things where everybody's just kind of like in shock. Is it okay? Is it? Can I smoke my joint here? And are the police going to come? And the powers that be are like, are they going to hang us?
Yeah. Look, the other thing we need to mention are the blogs that came out after the interview with the trustee, because one of the participants in this interview blogged and has continued to blog with inside information, which should directly be of concern to anybody in the United States at this stage. And would you like to have that discussion, Lisa? Would you like to lead off with that?
Oh, no, you can keep going. You're fine.
And keep going? Okay. Essentially, what appears to have happened, and this is kind of a blurt on her part. She'd been asked to not talk about this, but she's so sick of being the whole thing being put off. You know, every day she's being told, no, it's another day, another 72 hours, and she'd been told that for at least a month. But essentially what the blog is saying is that the Nasara Act was brought into law after this group made their final filings in late November. Okay, on December the 5th, original Nasara laws were actually brought in, which is a law which does virtually exactly the same thing that the trustees have done with the public trust filings. It removed the corporate government of the United States. And according to this blog, the American president is now the speaker, Mr. Boehner. President Obama probably won't be inaugurated. the politicians in the Senate and the Congress were basically arrested, charged, asked to sign a document to non-disclose and cooperate, and then released. And some others were dealt with at a greater depth because they've been up to more heinous things.
Now, just to add to that, there was a confirmation of sorts from somebody who was in Reno during December, who said they were personally aware of Obama being arrested and released. Now, that news came through in December, earlier in December. Now, what Dee's blog post talking about the catch and release program only went live a couple of days ago.
Yep. So the information about things going on in the background is absolutely bursting at the seams. The blog, I'm sure Barbara will post the link to the blog, and there's been a bit more information added to it in the last day or so, which is relevant. And it's physical. It's starting to become physical evidence of major, major changes in the entire system inside the United States, which should be reflected ultimately around the world.
Chris, the blog is called what again? Breaking the Shackles?
Removing the Shackles. Removing the Shackles. And the writer is a person known as Dee. And she was one of the ones involved in the interview with Heather Tucci Jaraff, who's one of the trustees. And we've only got 5 minutes or so to go to the end of the show, so we probably need to end this discussion here and do a roundup. If you can round something like this up, I mean, well, you know, how do you round this up?
And, well, you don't. We just have to let everybody know what's happening. We're aware of it. We want you guys to be aware of it. Do your own research, but get into that mindset of, you know, things are happening. Things are happening, people. Yeah. And this is the outcome of the collective intent we've been putting out there for a very long time. And it's not just the people on this show and participating on the show. We're talking about humanity at large has been putting out a call for this. You know, a call for freedom. We've been doing it for a long time. So and now...
There was no Galactic Federation.
There was no Galactic Federation involved, no.
No Ascension Chambers?
No, it was all us.
Yes, there is something I do want to mention just briefly before we end the show, and it's not related to this at all. It is related to the heat wave that is taking place in Australia right now and the fires that are all over southwestern Australia. There is an individual here by the name of Peter Stevens who has developed what he believes is a very successful, 100% successful, rainmaking machine. Now, this guy does have, there are articles about him in papers in northern New South Wales. He does have people who endorse him and employ him to come and bring rain to their area. And in order to sort of just keep an eye out for what he might be doing, he... He's on his way to a place called Bourke. In Australia, you'll know where that is. Now, Bourke is in drought. I think it's currently there are fires. He is on his way there as we speak and is planning on setting up his machine, hopefully in time for sunrise tomorrow. That's Thursday morning. And expects to see some rain within a matter of hours. I'm just trying to look for the notes. I think I told you guys earlier how long it would take him to see rain. It's only a few hours, by 3 p.m. So if we get rain in the Bourke area by 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon or around that time, I just wanted to get it out there before it happens so that if it happens, we've got a live mention of it on this show. So that's all at this point. And if he gets rain, then we might have him on the show. So as for what we've just been talking about in the last hour, I just want to say to everybody, you know, congratulations and well done. You know, your hearts have gone out, your intent has gone out, you're starting to see the results, just start believing in it, and, you know, we'll get it over the line. That's all I want to say. So thanks, everybody. Thank you to everyone who's listening, who will listen. Thank you to everybody who's never listened but is out there with their intent. And
just one thing, Lisa, do you mind if I mention tip for people to join me in 2 days, Thursday U.S., Friday in Australia for the for Cool Coincidences on the same network?
Beautiful. Yes, everyone, do that. Ring in and tell Barbara and share your crazy coincidental stories. And we will see you same time, same bat channel next week. And I'm sure there'll be lots more to talk about between now and then that'll go down. So have a great day. Have a great week. Thanks, Bob, Barbara, and Chris. Thanks to Tony for calling in.
Yeah.
Guys, get over your nerves and start calling in next week.
Yeah.
We want to hear your stories.
Yeah. Watch this space.
Watch this space, yes. Okay, bye for now.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.